Anote Tong, former president of Kiribati and international climate change activist, joins us in the studio this morning. He'll be speaking tonight at the Honolulu Museum of Art's Doris Duke Theater. The theater will be screening the documentary Anote's Ark, which tells the story of the Kiribati people's ongoing fight to save their nation from changing weather patterns. Take a listen to highlights from the trailer.
Kiribati is in the center of the world. So it's right there, bang in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. So far away, so isolated, we thought it would be immune from the tribulations of this world.
The issue of climate change remains the most pressing challenge for us in Kiribati.
For those of us on the front line, it really does not matter what is agreed to in Paris, because we will continue to go underwater.
What is going to happen to us is going to be the fate of the rest. We will fall.
Anote Tong has twice been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize and has been recognized for his work in environmental protection. Welcome this morning.
Thank you for having me.
It is so nice to have you here in studio. Describe to our listeners what Kiribati looks like. How large is it?
Well, it's as I said, it's in the middle of the world because it's spread up above the equator and below the equator and also east and west of the international dateline. The total land mass is not much more than 800 square kilometers, but so spread over 3.5 million square kilometers of ocean. The islands are atolls, and therefore very fragile. Hardly the average height would be of the land above sea level would be 2 meters is a bit liberal even.
Wow, so very vulnerable.
Very, very vulnerable. We, in a sense, we are a bit fortunate where we are located on the equator because we're in the doldrums, the boring part of the weather pattern. We don't get anything exciting.
Just okay. Well, I grew up in Typhoon Alley in Guam, so I'm used to large storms, but I can see that your tiny island would be just so exposed.
We're not structured to withstand any kind of a storm. Sometimes we've had some winds, moderate, maybe 40 knots is severe for us, and if it were to coincide with a spring tide, a king tide, then the damage would be quite enormous. We have experienced this, and even recently as well.
So your greatest fear then is that the change in the climate patterns, I guess.
More so rather than the rise in sea level, because the rise in sea level is very gradual, but I think it's the increasing temperature, which would, of course, increase the energy and perhaps even the storms coming our way, which should not be coming our way.
And I know we here in Hawaii have been hearing more about king tides, and it is pretty alarming to see how far up the wash is in Waikiki, even where you're staying this mm-hmm. week.
Right. Well, we are seeing events. At the end of last year, we had floodings. We had king tides. The king tides keep coming more often than they used to be. So there was flooding at the end of last year. Some islands suffered damage to their homes. And also at the beginning of this year. So, as I said, we're seeing it more frequently and with much greater intensity.
And so this film that's going to be screened tonight, what's the message out there?
Well, I've been on this path for more than a decade and a half now. And it's about getting that message across because I know it's a very difficult message to convey to people, especially people who believe that what is happening on climate change has no relevance to their lives. And we have a lot of that. And so just because it doesn't happen in one go, it doesn't happen like a typhoon or a cyclone, it really doesn't matter. But I think the difference between what is happening on climate change is it keeps coming. It doesn't recede. Whereas you might get a typhoon, but it goes. And so that is the problem we will continue to face.
And what's the population of your island?
We've got over 100,000 people, but getting to maybe 110. And spread over the many islands that we have.
So you've been on this mission, really, worldwide, talking about the plight of your nation's, your country. You were just in, was it New Zealand or Australia?
I've just come back from Australia to speak at the Australasian Emissions Reduction Summit. And this is what the Australians tried to do in response to climate change. This is, it's an interesting forum because it engages people from different sides of the debate, including energy companies. And so it's about people who feel threatened by climate change, but also people who might feel threatened by the remedies being proposed to deal with climate change.
And so you had mentioned earlier before the show that for Australia it was interesting because they're in the middle of elections, correct?
Well, they're in the final stages of the campaign. The election is in a few days, just around about a week. And so, and climate has become the top of the agenda, which is very interesting because this happened quite recently. I was there in October last year, and it was creeping up to the top of the agenda. Following the action by the young people, the students, to march and protest on this, it really has come up to the top of the agenda. And so the question for the parties involved in campaigning, what is going to be their policy on climate change?
Yes, and there are some very hard questions that they're going to have to ask and some tough policies that they may have to draft.
Definitely. When my talks last year, and I keep saying it, you people in Australia may think that climate change is not relevant to your life. But I assure you, in the next summer, you will experience your bushfires. You will experience your storms and your droughts. And maybe not you directly, but people you know. And if it doesn't touch anybody relevant to you, next time it might. But definitely, the march of climate change will continue if we do not do anything about it.
And Australia's landmass is vast compared to our tiny islands.
Well, they are not on the front line. We mustn't make the mistake of thinking that because we are low level, we are the only ones that are going to suffer. Because climate change impacts come in different forms. To us, the immediate danger is the rising seas, the increasing intensity of the storms, and what damage it could. But for countries like Australia, it's about bushfires, it's about the storms which are coming more frequently, which with much greater intensity, and of course the droughts which are affecting their farmers.
And so when you go out across the globe talking about this issue, what do you say about the children of Kiribati?
Well, I say because, as you pointed out very correctly, I used to do this as a leader. Now I do this as a grandfather. I have, I think, 18 grandchildren. My wife knows them precisely.
Congratulations.
But for me, it's real, it's very personal, and it's about voicing the concerns of all the grandparents in Kiribati and beyond, even here in Hawaii, because this is about the future of the generations coming.
And you mentioned that you're staying in Waikiki for this trip, and you've come here many times. What are you struck by when you come to a place like Hawaii, and you've seen the changes yourself?
Yes, well, Hawaii's Honolulu is quite a different world from the kind of world that I know. Of course, you're pulled along with the tide of leisure and pleasure, and so the concerns that would be steering me back home seem to be in the background when you're in a situation like this. And I think that is what makes it a little difficult sometimes for people to truly understand the gravity of what is coming.
And anything else you would like to share just as you go on this journey to broadcast your message?
Okay, I think what's important is for each and every one of us, to truly understand that whatever we do is relevant to what will happen to the future of this planet and to people like my grandchildren and your grandchildren.
And do you feel that the message is getting through, that people are receptive to that?
Much more than it was the case when I started talking in 2004. There's a great deal of change, but we're still missing the concrete solutions that need to be put in place.
And what about funding? Where do you see that?
I would not depend entirely on the international community coming forward, but we have a lot of resources. We have one of the largest fishery resources in the world, but we get a very tiny part of it. So we need to enhance the rate of return in order to build the climate resilience we need.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Our in-studio guest is the former president of Kiribati, who will be speaking tonight at the Honolulu Museum of Art following a screening of the film Anote's Ark. Find the details on our Facebook page, The Conversation, HPR.